see the signs and wonders? Can't you hear the distant thunder? Can't you feel the whole earth rumble? That's the dance of the rhythm about the coming of the Lord. Dance the dance of the rhythm of creation. Dance the rhythm of God. Dance of the rhythm of revelation. Dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Can't you see the fig tree blooming? Can't you hear the storm clouds moving? Can't you feel the mountains moving? That's the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Dance of the rhythm of creation. Dance of the rhythm of God. Dance of the rhythm of revelation. Dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Think about you, all things past. Welcome to Jerusalem. And wonders. Can't you hear the distant thunder? Can't you feel the whole earth rumble? Can't you see the big tree blooming? Can't you hear the storm rumbling? Can't you feel the mountains moving? That's the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Dance of the rhythm of the ages.
Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. Now, Jesus is pretty neat, and one of the things that the Bible teaches us is that we praise His name, and even repeat His name, the name of Jesus. You know, praise the Lord. I praise you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. This is a kind of thing that when we are worshiping Jesus in a worshiping atmosphere, we call on His name, we call out His name. And in praises, as the Bible says, Jesus inhabits the praises of His people. And so it is really something to work with to get in your private time or at church. If the churches that you go to let you take time to worship Jesus this way. And so, right. Take time to worship Him. Hey, Jesus, I praise you. I worship you. And continue in that kind of a mode when you begin your prayer time with Jesus. You don't have to do it all the time, but it's also a good thing to do, to get in some sort of a routine where you at least offer some prayers and thanks to the Lord. And many wonderful things can happen. If you're a Pentecostal, which simply means that Jesus has baptized you in the Holy Spirit, which means that it is not baptism in water, where like you go to church, you sign up for a baptism thing, and there are various kinds. Some sprinkle, some do immersion, where you're completely put down in the water and lifted up out of the water. Generally, this is if you're going to talk to me about baptism in water, you're going to have to go completely under the water and back up, because you're symbolizing the death of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus. And sprinkling doesn't quite do that. Baptism in water isn't a necessary ingredient for salvation. And so, well, the train went by, so I had to. So it is important that you seek Jesus to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, because baptism in the Holy Spirit is a really way that you can really get involved with Jesus and a close walk with Jesus, because the Holy Spirit comes in you and the gifts that are given are better able to manifest themselves, like the gifts of healing, prophecy, and a whole slew of gifts that it's not necessarily clearly stated in the Bible, but you, as Christians, Pentecostal Christians, you know that there's a lot of stuff that you can do when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Those of you that are not baptized in the Holy Spirit may really believe that you have a really close relationship with Jesus. And I don't doubt that at all. I'm just saying that in Acts chapter 2, there is more opportunity in Jesus Christ to seek Him closer, a closer walk with Him, and where you can learn about the praises and worshiping God in a manner which brings His presence, and you can have some very interesting results when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit and you go out in ministry. Miracles will increase, answered prayer will increase, and your life will basically demonstrate a spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. Please look to Jesus to ask Him to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Reading the Word of God is really important when you accept Jesus Christ. And you also should know that today we live in a time where Satan is bringing forth his counterfeits. Satan wants to counterfeit everything Jesus and everything God. And some of the things that are of God that he is counterfeiting is the Holy Spirit. And he's pretty much done this throughout time. This is why other religions work. This is why mysticism and the occult things work, because they are tapping into the Holy Spirit basically illegally, because they're not going through Jesus Christ. And it works because there's power in the Holy Spirit. You could feel God, and you can tap into the Holy Spirit and not be a believer. And this is why we have so many religions and so many other manner of stuff that people get caught up in, believing that they have an answer. Another counterfeit that Satan does is the Bible. Now, the Bible is a more recent thing, although it's gone through a process. The first time it was counterfeited was in the 2nd century. All the documents were written up for whatever means, but they were brought into the same kind of books that were in the original Gospels and Epistles, and they were accumulated together and translated into Latin Vulgate in the 2nd century. And sometime in the 2nd century, the original copies of the actual inspired Word of God, the Gospels, the Epistles, and so forth, were also translated into Latin Vulgate. Now, from the 2nd century onward, the original copies, basically, that manuscript that is basically what we can actually call the Word of God, was used. And it was continually in use until the 16th century. The other manuscript, which I'll just call the corrupt version or Satan counterfeit version, was not used and basically lost until the 15th century, when the Catholics discovered it, found it, whatever, and decided for whatever reason that they're going to make it their official Bible. And this is the corrupt version now, Satan's counterfeit. So in the 15th century, the Catholic Church has adopted the counterfeit Bible as their official Bible. Now, all this while, the Protestant Church is still using of what is called the received text, which is not corrupt, which is actually the Word of God, until 1611. And this is when the King James Version came out, which was based on this original, uncorrupted, and actual Word of God manuscript. and they the King James authorized this translation, so that, and it was printed in such a fashion, because now printing books became something pretty easy to do now and to get in the hands of everybody. King James Version became very popular, in so much that all the other original kind of received text, the actual Word of God, began to fade away, until basically all that was really available was the King James Version. And it didn't take too long before they changed the font style to the King James Version. If you had looked at the 1611 version, you would have almost thought it was a different language. You couldn't hardly read it, because the font style was not very recognizable. But once they turned it into another font style, which today we use frequently, it was quite readable, and it was suddenly made sense. There was no revisions done. It was just simply a change of font. And so, and there were about 400 typographical errors and printing errors, which were pretty much corrected in the first 30 years after the original came out. And then basically there has been no revision since then until today. There still is no revision to the King James Bible. There's a lot of commentary versions and so forth. But around 1880 came along Westcott and Hort. They've been around for a while. They were translators, and they had gotten the Catholic version, the corrupt version, and they translated it to Greek, which was not the standard or even the original Greek. It was just a style of Greek that they sort of invented. Once they'd done that to the whole Bible, they began to translate it back into English. And after this process done, these two people were very influential. One was even on the board because of the Church of England's revision to the Bible committee. And they were in the process of choosing and revising the Bible into a more modern English to be the official Church of England Bible. And so this process got Westcott and Hort the notoriety, because they were able to influence the board and the committee to use their version entirely. So by 1880, the corrupt version translated into modern English to be used as the official Church of England was finished. And this Bible then was the official Bible of the Protestant Church, basically. So now you had a corrupt Catholic version and a corrupt English version, Protestant version, and while the King James still very popular and easy to get. And so the time went on, and you got till the 1946-1948, where they actually had the first modern translation from the Church of England Bible into an English that is more like what we would call our common English today. It's interesting here that no modern versions really existed until 1948, the time that Israel became a nation. You see, modern translations would have made no difference pre-Israel as a nation. The counterfeit Bibles will only work if they have other counterfeits to support them. And so, here we are. That generation won't pass away, so now we have a generation that will be here for Jesus returns. And so, counterfeits, if you're reading a counterfeit Bible and you have other counterfeit support, is going to make you think that Antichrist is Jesus. And so many of you are now reading Antichrist's counterfeit Bible. And you think that you're just reading another angle to the Bible, and that it's just as much the Word of God as anything else. In fact, the trend is to make the King James Bible like a bad Bible, like it's corrupted. And it's kind of interesting that a good number of well-meaning Christians are actually turning away from the only available Bible that can actually be called the Word of God. And it's a process. You've got 2,000 years of processes going on since Christianity. You got the work of Antichrist. You got the work of Satan and all his demons. You got the work of Masons, which go way back, and their attempt to make a one-world government. And they're almost there. It actually is a one-world government today. It's just not that public yet. It's pretty public. Pretty much all the countries are working together. It's just not declared as a one-world government as it was, and divided up into the regions set up by the one-world government processes. And it doesn't have a one-world dictator as yet. And so you need more counterfeits, and Satan, the great counterfeiter, is going to do some other things, still trying to get the King James Bible booted out from church, and then bringing forth to the populace other counterfeit things that will make it, when you compare it to modern versions and the conditioning that you've gotten, you will begin to think that Antichrist has to actually be Jesus after all. When Antichrist comes, he's not going to say, "I'm Antichrist." He's not going to give you all the numbering system so you can prove beyond doubt he's 666. None of these things are going to happen. He's going to merge in here in such a fashion and be a person that you'd be pretty much probably surprised about. And that you will recognize him, he'll be a knight in shining armor. This is going to mean like he's going to be a prince, you know. He's going to be Prince Charming, as it was. He's not going to be necessarily religious. So when we're trying to say the Pope, the coming Pope might be Antichrist, this isn't possible because this is not what the behaviorism of Antichrist is. Antichrist is a politician. He is a government leader. He is a world leader. He is wanting control of everything. The religious part of it is he's going to say he's God. The religiosity of it is going to be in the second piece. This could possibly be the Pope. However, I think this is a wishful thinking. I think that the person that's called Lord Maitreya is going to be the second beast, the sidekick of Antichrist, which then is also a counterfeit. And he will be bringing forth stuff to make that Antichrist look like God. And so you will be worshiping him and turning to him and think he's a wonderful person and probably is Jesus, and the church is generally going to be supporting this person. So keep in mind that you are a last days Christian, and so you need lots more support than all other Christians before you. 2,000 years of Christianity gives you lots of information. So you can't go running to this or that, or this verse or that verse, and try to make a doctrine out of it when you already have 2,000 years of people dealing with each verse of the entire Bible. The history has gone by. You need to do your homework to know that when you're going to use a verse to maybe point out there's a group of people you don't like, you need to know what the world system is doing so you won't fall into the gap of being conditioned to think Antichrist is Jesus. And the church is already deep involved in this kind of system. They're supporting one world religion in a huge way. They're changing their terminology into a terminology that is very close to Mason's terminology. And Mason's 33rd degree or higher, which George Bush is, believe that Satan never fell and that he's Lucifer. And they think Lucifer is God. They think God of the Bible is the evil dark God. And so, and Christianity seems to support these kind of people that got credentials that are easily enough proven to be a 33rd degree Mason. If you know that somebody's a 33rd degree Mason, you cannot even guess or wish or think or hope that they're anything other than worshiping Lucifer. And yet, so many of you think these people are God-fearing people. So, you need to get ready by looking at the circumstances around you and to really check out your church, you know, just because a person that seems to know the Bible and is preaching to you, if he's using a modern version, you need to ask them why. Why are you using a modern version Bible? Because there is so many. You get 2 million pages or so in a simple Google search on Westcott and Hort. And in those 2 million pages, you get, it's almost all going to be going into detail, showing you that they created a corrupt version, a Satan counterfeit version, to become the official Bible that all modern translations come from. They also set up clubs that if you're going to be an elite leader in the New World Order, in Antichrist Kingdom, you have to be a member of this club. It's called the Ghost Club. And so these people are more evil than just simply translating a Bible. And yet, you pick up your Bible every day and read it. And it's a modern translation. If any of my preaching on this TV weekly can ever make a difference, it would be that if you can only hear what I'm saying about modern translations and switch back or turn back or go to the King James Version and get used to the these and the thous and the thus and so forth, because this is the Word of God. The other ones can sound pretty good, seem pretty right on, but they're taking Christ out of Jesus and they're muddying up the events of the last days. Another point, if I have time here, is that in 1830, a woman named Margaret, an occultist, developed this thing she saw in a dream that said that it's going to be a pre-rapture, that the saints are going to be taken away before the tribulation happens. Then comes around Darby in about 1840 that enhances this to make it a basically church-wide tradition that saints will not go through the rapture. I mean, not go through tribulation period at all. And so today, if you talk to most Christians, they don't think they will see any of the tribulation, and they think that Jesus will come at any moment. Jesus won't come at any moment. There's a certain set of events that will take place before Jesus comes back. The Bible states often enough that there are 1260 days where the church is in the tribulation and they're going to be spanked. They're going to be chastised. They're going to be washed in the blood. It's not going to be a fun experience. Huge numbers of Christians today are going to begin to turn from Jesus. And God has an army ready to go back to try to restore those of you that are going to turn your backs on Jesus. Events are going to take place at astounding pace coming up soon. Once the two witnesses meet each other, the last day's clock begins. It's stopped for a while because it's waiting for the two witnesses to meet. Once the two witnesses meet, the clock will start again and will never stop until it's over. And you have about 2.5 years after these two people meet before the tribulation begins. If you don't know Jesus, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God and that God rose you on the third day. A simple prayer gets you saved. Now begin to read the King James Version Bible and ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And people get ready. It's exciting time. I mean, if you just can even have the idea that you can lay hands on people and they'll be healed, there's going to be an interesting change in the style of ministry, and lots of people aren't going to like it, but it is of God, doesn't take away from the Bible, it's right on the Bible, and it's going out to bring in this last revival that's coming up. Huge numbers of Christians are going to turn away, and lots of people are going to come to Christ. There's going to be lots of healing, raising of the dead, and much more. And pastors are going to fall like rain. People, get ready. Jesus is about to come back. And there's certain processes that have to take place before you can say Jesus can come back at any moment. You will go through 1260 days of the tribulation and possibly another 75 days. Life as you know it's going to change. See you next week.
Well, it's a nice view here.
Yeah.
Oh, is that a sailboat over there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're over here in Fair Haven. We drove up to Chuckanut Road or Highway 11 or something. And we're here now. In Fair Haven, Bellingham.
Hi.
Gay is not sin. And Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight.
The signs and wonders, can't you hear the distant thunder, can't you feel the whole earth rumble, that's the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Dance the dance of the rhythm of creation, dance the dance of the rhythm of God, dance the dance of the rhythm of revelation, dance the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Can't you see the fig tree blooming? Can't you hear the storm pipe booming? Can't you feel the mountains moving? That's the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Dance the dance of the rhythm of creation. Dance the dance of the rhythm of God. Dance the dance of the rhythm of revelation. Dance the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. To all things past, welcome to Jerusalem. Listen to the trumpet blast. God is coming to you. Can't you see the signs and wonders? Can't you hear the distant thunder? Can't you feel the whole earth rumble? Can't you see the victory blooming? Can't